Mike North joins us now from Commodities Risk Management Group. The numbers today look a little scary in the dairy business. Milk futures taking a big dive. Of course, we have cheese stocks reports coming out today, which say we're near record levels. Yesterday, the production numbers were up. They're all tied together, aren't they?
It is. It basically paints a more casual picture for a buyer, right? If we look at the weekly cold storage numbers yesterday, cheese inventories dropped 1% from the week before. But as you pointed out, relative to where we're at on the calendar as a month, year over year, we're holding record inventories. As we look at butter, cold storage numbers are up 24% from the week prior. That's huge. And certainly needs some reckoning. Milk production up 1.8% year over year for the month of January, and probably the biggest number of all of them, the very fact that despite all of the chatter, despite all of the coffee shop rumors, milk cow numbers rose in the month of January, up 4,000 over the previous year. So if I'm a buyer of product, the last thing that I'm doing as I head towards the spring flush and tons of milk and a lot more product going into inventory is chasing prices. So on the wake of cold storage, in light of production numbers, butter prices dropped 3 cents on the spot trade today. Powder drops off another penny and a quarter. And the cheese market, which has been kind of the rising star here of late, fell 2.5 cents. So bottom line is buyers said, we'll check back later at lower prices. Adios. And the milk market dropped 30 cents in nearby months.
So months ago when we last talked, you were telling the producers, you know, you might want to put a floor under this. I'm guessing today is a good reason to hammer that message home.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's no denying the fact that in previous years, as we head towards spring flush and more milk works its way into the equation and buyers of product are not actively engaged seeking out, product for their own needs, this is a time of the year when the market is incredibly vulnerable. And when you look at the setup, largest cow herd in the United States since spring of 1996. And what's more interesting about that is if you go back to, you know, a time 10 years ago, just the growth in productivity per cow. So 2008 until now, last 10 years, the growth in productivity per cow is the equivalent of adding about 75,000 cows to the herd, based on 2008 production numbers.
Yeah, because when you
not only have we added 78,000 cows in that period of time, but we added productivity that was the equivalent of another 75,000 cows. So we've had this massive growth. We've had a build in inventories. We've had a slightly positive export picture, right? We've got a weaker dollar. We're moving a little bit more product. The United States has actively been trying to be the lowest price point in the world market. All of these things have been positive, but not enough to overcome this supply issue that we face. So, you know, once again, we're kind of caught in the crosshairs, and the market has a decision to make. You know, are we going to, you know, elevate prices enough to keep production growing, or are we going to drop prices dramatically and become more patient in the short term to ultimately cleanse the system, so to speak, and give room for higher prices later? And that's an unanswerable question right now. We really have to monitor behavior to know. But if you're a producer, we don't have the luxury of waiting around to see what the answer to that question is. We pay bills every month. We milk cows every day. And so, you know, we've got to be very hawkish with prices. And so you're right. Several months ago, we were engaging the market. We began our crusade, if you will, for 2018 coverage beginning last June. And we hit it hard and hit the ground running. And, you know, we're able to capture some of those higher prices for a good share of our clients. But the bottom line here is, even at $14, and this is the thing that catches everybody, even at 14, you may look back at some point here in the next few months and say, boy, 14 wasn't so bad. And that's a hard thing to have to accept. But go back just 2 years ago, May of 2016, Class 3 milk got as low as $12.76. So we've just seen a nice rally. We've had guys that have been calling, guys that are wide open, guys that are kind of reevaluating their situation. And our advice then was, if you have nothing, let's get something in place. And so we've used a lot of option strategies to get there because we want to maintain a degree of flexibility. Because as we're all aware, at some point, this thing turns around.
Did it turn around sooner than expected?
Markets always are bucking expectation. And so when you look at a market moving higher, it generally always goes farther than you think it can. And when the markets are going lower, it always goes lower than you think it should. And so as we talk about some of these different price points, whether it be $13 or that $12.76 number that we saw in 2016, both of them are points to respect, but the market is no respecter of prices. So it could go much deeper than that. It could last longer than a month. That was one of the gifts of 2016, is that, you know, we moved lower from the upper 13s into the upper 12s and came out of it pretty quickly. The reality is that this year may be the same, right? We started with a $14 January announced price. February is looking to go off the books somewhere south of $13.50. We've got March, you know, only off of its doorstep by about 50 cents. Right now, today, $13.90-ish. So could pattern very closely to what we saw in 2016. If it does, we would look for, you know, if that pattern holds, a quick revival out of those lower prices. However, the pain in that might be that we don't remove enough cows from the equation. And then we end up lingering in what I call the land of mediocrity with prices that, you know, also don't really make a smile, 14 to 15, or, you know, maybe upwards towards 16.
What advice would you have for the producer right now, looking at what happened in the market today and knowing that the rest of the year right now is all down until the next change in the market?
Well, I guess what I would say is be vigilant, but also be prudent. You know, don't be overreactive in this market. What can often happen is the markets drop and then we get a little bit of a pop. That hope of going back to where we came from is shattered. And now suddenly we move into despair and then we act irrationally and we make this big reactive decision to what just happened in the market. Days like today bring that kind of response out. But it's still a good idea to have coverage. Like I say, we could easily tip back into that upper 12 echelon and we could look back and say, hey, that $14 price wasn't so bad. So we've used a lot of option strategies, Larry, to manage that. And options go a long way to give you coverage, but at the same time give you flexibility, because there's no way to pinpoint the exact perfect moment to execute your marketing plan. But what I tell everybody is every day is an opportunity. It's just a matter of bringing a strategy to the table that's appropriate. And so if you're going to go down this road now of responding and handling prices, have a conversation with somebody that can guide you in it. Don't act irrationally. And, you know, I guess that's for right now, the wisdom that I would share is be prudent, be vigilant, but don't overreact. So, you know, reach out to some people that can walk you through what this should look like.
It's not the end of the world. It's just another day on the market, right?
Yes, indeed. Sometimes it feels like the end of the world when you get days like today, but tomorrow is a new day.